Yes, it's Friday. It's Friday. Welcome to the Black Life Show. Hello, everybody.
What's up?
Hello.
Some all the good stuff.
Yeah, that was such a cool song. I mean, South African music is really going to the next level, hey?
Yeah.
Dope. Yeah.
K-Solo, is it?
K-Lo. Dope. Nothing Dope. Better.
Right.
Great We've stuff. Got a very cool international guest in our midst today.
International Panzula.
Oh. Hey. Hello.
Dope. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, we've got, how do we start this?
We've got to do it right.
We can't just jump in.
Yeah.
Let's do it right. In fact, let's give him a South African greeting. Sawubona. You're supposed to say Gunjan.
Let's try it again.
Sawubona.
Gunja.
Hey.
Right. These other white people out here. This dude comes from the States, so
yeah,
he got it right the first time around.
Shame on you.
What's wrong with you?
Welcome to Cliff Central. It's Friday. Boch, I'm gonna allow you to introduce our guest today, because I'm in heaven right now, you know. So I might do.
Wanna be starstruck, yo?
Yeah.
Starstruck.
At a lot of words.
Right.
We got Jeff Carvalho in the house, and welcome.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for being here.
By the way, this is my first time to South Africa.
Whoa! Big things.
Absolutely amazing country.
Big things.
So how long have you been? When did you get here?
So we arrived yesterday morning.
Okay.
After a long haul from New York City.
Oh, wow.
And we got right to it. Yeah. So it's been amazing.
Busy 2 days, huh?
Yeah, it's been great. I couldn't be more excited. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely pumped up.
Cool. Yeah. Maybe Jeff could just tell us just a little bit about yourself and what brings you to South Africa.
Yeah, sunny South Africa.
Sure. So I'm a partner in a website called High Snobiety, and we talk a lot about fashion, street culture,
cool shit,
the lifestyle, and I'm here as a guest to speak tonight.
Okay.
At a pretty amazing event that's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the name of the event?
So it's called Street Cred.
Okay.
And I'm here with a few other guests.
Right.
Yeah. But you know, a lot of me being here too is to learn from what's happening in the culture down here as well. So
yeah, man.
For sure.
It's a lot of sharing that's
nice
gonna be happening.
Nice one. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
Man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What struck you? What's the one or two things that have struck you about this country that you weren't expecting or was basically reaffirmed?
Yeah, I think first of all, I feel like I'm almost at the bottom of the world in some regards. You know, we're so far away from New York, and this is a part of the world that you hear a lot about. But once you arrive here, you realize that, quite frankly, it's not that different than what's happening in New York. You know, I feel like the people that I've met are just as excited about what's happening with youth culture and making change and definitely getting the word out. So I think that's quite frankly been the most eye-opening thing. It's very much just like New York in that sense. You know, clearly there's things that are different, but the pace and the hype has been pretty amazing.
Go ahead.
Any funny things that you picked up, anything that you saw that sort of like jarred you? I don't know. Just like, whoa. Okay,
I mean, different. Funny things like we went and did a bit of a tour yesterday, a bit outside of Joburg, driving around. We went to
Soweto.
We passed through, and I think the markers that the guys are calling taxis with their fingers is pretty interesting. Sort of learning that.
Yeah.
So if I ever get lost, I guess I know how to get back to city central.
From anywhere. You can be anywhere in Gauteng, and you do this, and you're going to the same place, all of you.
Yeah.
No, that's been pretty interesting. Yeah, I think in general, even the area that we're staying in, I love the explosion of like little shops that are opening up.
Yeah.
You know, I think to me that's the connection and the feeling that reminds me of, you know, what's been happening in New York for some time.
And you're in the Maboneng area,
I think so, yes, sir.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Jeff, now tell us about selectism, High Snobiety, because if I start, I won't stop. The whole show will be on that. You know?
Yeah, so we also have a print magazine as well that
we
brought a few copies down, and we'll be shipping a lot more. So Selectism was a branch off of High Snobiety, where we were trying to talk more to maybe a guy like our age, a guy that's kind of grown up a little bit, and he's looking for something that goes a little bit beyond maybe the average, you know, the T-shirt or what I like to call sometimes as disposable clothing, you know, something that you can pick up and then when it wears out, it gets tossed. You know, something that's looking for a little bit more quality. So the difference between the two sites really are that it's Heisnabiety covers a lot of what's happening now, very much in trend, what's happening, you know, within the game. Selectism's for the guy that's looking for something that's, you know, a little bit higher end, something that's going to be in their closet a little longer.
Yeah.
That's probably the easiest way. I'd love to know how you guys perceive it, though.
Yeah. Can I start?
Go ahead. We can see.
I've been waiting.
Can see you're going to slap somebody if you don't get to get your talk. So.
I mean, the way you present street culture and the way you present, like, style, like Nike, Reebok, all these brands, up-and-coming brands. I mean, for me, it's quite refreshing because we've never had that. You know, we've never made street look cool.
Okay.
Well, at least in Africa, you know, or in South Africa, in fact. So the way you present and the guys you feature, I mean, you can get a no-name guy, model, no model per se, you know, hey, these are the new sneakers from Essex or so-and-so.
Sure.
That's all we follow, you know. But my question is, how do you make money off that? How do you make money?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, for a long time, I don't think we did make money. I think it was like a pet project like anything else that we did our best to kind of just push. And, you know, it wasn't a full-time gig for some time. But, you know, the way that we make money today really comes down to advertising. It's very much ad-supported. When you come on the page, you may see an advertisement from, you know, could be a sneaker brand.
Yeah.
You know, it could be clothing. That's, quite frankly, that's how we make money. We're never going to be in a position where we're going to charge our readers.
Right.
That's not the game we want. So we do a little bit of positioning as well. Sometimes you'll see that we'll, you know, we'll do content with a brand where maybe we do the video production for them.
Okay.
But that's really how, at the end of the day, that's how we make money.
Yeah. And now you're based out of the UK.
No, actually, our biggest office is actually in Berlin.
In Berlin.
Yeah, so Snobiety was started in Geneva in 2005.
It's out of here.
Yeah, Geneva of all places. And it's celebrating 10 years next year. Wow. And Selectism came out of that somewhere around like 2007.
Sure.
But the majority of our business right now is run out of Berlin and the office in New York. We have editors in London, of course, as well.
Yeah. Sure. I'm blown away.
Yeah, I mean, I've got
you got notes.
I've got a ton of stuff to pick this dude's brain about.
Please, go ahead.
Okay, so, like, because he touched on it a little, but I want to know what aesthetically has stood out to you. I mean, I know you've only been here a short time, and we're going to go to street cred later, and then you're going to see aesthetic. You're going to be aestheticed out.
Yeah.
But so far, like, what do you think? What do you think of the aesthetic and, like, the general style and stuff like that? Because, like, every city's got its thing, like, New York has got like a grunge thing. Paris has got like that that cafe look, and like Asia is quite avant-garde, like exaggerated pieces and stuff like that. So, what do you think is the vibe of Jersey?
I was talking to my friend Hardy and my girlfriend earlier about the bucket cap scene here is very impressive. You know, the average guy walking down the street with a bucket cap.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I'm obsessed with it. I think it's amazing.
There's a name for it here. It's called Sporty.
Sporty. What is it?
Sporty.
Sporty.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the perception of it is locally, but there's a story to be told there because the stuff I've been seeing has just been fantastic.
Yeah.
That, you know, the average guy in the street, I think that's really cool. Yeah, I think the style actually is really, again, just really not that different than what I'm seeing in New York. You know, the individuality of everyone's style is really interesting as well. Sneaker culture is clearly something that, you know, is here, and that's really cool to see.
Do you think it's here? Because there was a guy who was here like a month ago or something, Woody. He's like a
Woody from Sneaker Freaker.
Yeah. And the word I got through the grapevine was that he wasn't that impressed with our sneaker culture.
Oh, really?
Really?
Okay, he's Australian, so I can't really speak. No, I love Woody. I've known him for long. In fact, actually, the first story I ever wrote around sneaker culture was for Sneaker Freaker number 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I kind of give him a little bit of love. I give him a lot of love for publishing me at that time. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe Woody's view is very different than mine. But and the little I have seen, it's been interesting to see. But honestly, those bucket hats are pretty amazing.
Wow, I've got so many questions.
Go, BZ, go.
I don't even know where to start. I'll
please.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I know you love your music, right?
Yeah.
What's your influence from a music perspective?
You know, for me, what's interesting, what tips me off on music is a beat. You know, I came out of the dance music circuit in the late 90s. I actually had an internet radio station back in 1998, before people had broadband, before really anybody was listening. And we were doing that out of Boston for some time. And, you know, for me, it's just a beat that pops off and kind of sucks me in. Looking specifically at what's going on in South Africa, you know, about 2 years ago, I really got obsessed with the sound of Shangaan, which is...
Nozinja.
I think that's... It's like a song.
Do you listen to Nozinja like Shangaan Electro?
Yeah, I mean, the Honest John out of London turned me on to that.
Yeah.
I think Mark Anestis is the guy there. And I remember the first time I heard the female vocal against it, and just kind of this rhythmic pattern, I just got completely obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And from there, it just becomes, it kind of just starts wormholing me into more music. So I've been able to discover a lot, you know, through that alley. And recently, I started listening to some stuff out of Mali called Banali, I think, which is some electronic.
Banalia. It's electronic, almost trance.
It's kind of, it's really out there stuff, super fast.
Yeah.
But in general, you know, quite frankly, I listen to everything. Stevie Wonder actually played in New York City last night, which is probably the only regret I may have about
coming
being
to
here.
South Africa.
But, you know, Stevie Wonder has been an incredible influence to me over years, and I just kept digging deeper into his music. But quite frankly, I don't even know where to start with the music I love. You know, as a young kid, I came out of like the punk scene that was happening in on the East Coast of the United States.
Okay.
And that, you know, that just opened the door to a lot of things. So I'm actually quite happy that the older I get, I still get very excited by new music, rather than just sitting back and, you know, sticking to what I've been listening to. So I'd love for you guys to turn me on to new music that's happening down here as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
So we're gonna play. Have you ever heard of Kwaito?
I haven't.
You haven't?
Kwaito. Is local?
It's local.
Okay.
It's proudly South African.
Okay.
Tell us what you think of this. So that's quite
first,
right?
First impressions.
TKZ, first impressions.
The beat is there. It drives you a bit.
Yeah. Okay.
I love it.
The
vocals are quite interesting too, because it's a bit more subdued there. I'm curious to know what the story behind it is.
Most of Kwaito is like, is call and response.
Okay.
So it's like wangata, agietsa so, and then leso. So it's like it's the most of the time it's trying to create some interactivity between the person who's performing
and the audience
most of the time, but like the lyrics, they vary. Sometimes they can be cool, like a party scene, like, and there's like very ratchet Kwaito songs.
Who's gonna make me a mixtape?
I think Duncan.
Okay.
Duncan
please do.
But then so we moved kind of a couple of 10 years back. Okay. So
all right.
Now we're going 10 years ahead.
All right.
So this is what's on the street right now.
Okay. Mina uchava ngakala ningala ngaze ngabangala beka manje sengakala. Mina uchava ngakala ningala ngaze ngabangala beka manje sengakala. Diplomeni zipala ba, baba chigo karaka. Diplomeni zipala ba, baba chigo karaka. Kudunganda
nanda pelelo gishin Hubum nanda pelelo gishin Nino manini Zinja zamzim zele komishin Izinja zamzim zele komishin Nino mayini Nopi karaveli polishin Wasip kala java lo mishin Yasin shayun dala lo vakfim Singa mapanto laita full alta Levele ngoli si Upi laga yu wansong Kwana vele ngono gun Landinga nepela lo vazio No Faggy guess it What are we gonna see Where we at Where we gonna chill Sure
Okay. Stop this now.
Get out of here.
Okay, so that's our hip hop mixed with kind of quieto.
Yeah. So okay. It's kind of morphed. Yeah.
It's kind of.
There's a name for it.
Okay.
Skanda rap. That's what they call it.
Skanda rap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
like Maskande. Like Maskande music.
I'm not sure where they got the name from, but that's what the Cash Time that whole clique they're calling this rap style Skanda because of the fusion of like. Kwaito is very like rhythmically it's very kwaito and that hanging bass that's like mad kwaito but then obviously like with the hip hop flows
sure
yeah so
I mean if this hasn't reached New York yet we got to bring it immediately
oh yeah let's just sign Cash Time in New York baby
I mean
what
the sound is super modern I mean that's what the kids are listening to
really know? Yeah
absolutely I mean that stuff flows as well as what's happening in New York for sure okay. or in the United States in total
so now we're gonna take you across border.
All right, where are we going?
Okay, just tell us what your info.
Okay.
I'm out here grinding with my G's, grinding with my G's. Money, get money, man. Ooh, when y'all are mad, I'm in Utah. When y'all are bad, I'm in Utah. Baby, I'm Tabela. I put ring on my pull my G, pull my G. Mr. Know It All, pull my G, pull my G. All you dusty girls, pull my G. You to the house, pull my G, pull my G. Life has been a bliss since the mainstream caught on. I'm looking at her physique, thinking, hey, she's the bomb. A few months ago, she called me a lame nigga. Now she can't wait to tell her friends that I came with her. Even forgot she was hating on me. She don't know her ABCs, so I gave her the D. She ain't know I'm under DuPont, she ain't tailored for me. Cause I only fuck with women that's as famous as me. Nobody bad like him and Zimba. We told him to bump the cheese up, cock and cheese up, beba guza, be retailer. I'm crying with my G's, crying with my G's. Money, money, man. Ooh, my yana, man, I'm in Juta. My yana, bell, I'm in Juta. Baby, I'm Tebele, Tebele. I put ring on more, pull my game, pull my game. Mr. Know It All, pull my game, pull my game. All you dusty girls, pull my game.
Don't tell the tuning mix, by the corner, ring on my heart.
I made a fortune, aka's favorite rap. I guess I made it on the Forbes list. You kinda sorta, no matter what they order. I guess I say what like that get complexion. Now I'm sure that it's funny when the trelabs get to acting like celebs. Used to get frustrated, now all I do is get the cash. I guess buy Salona Jack and so much for tag. Claiming you real, you little for dead. Back up, biggie back up. At least I'm a cock and bitch, it's a cock. Keep on a baiting, so say the cheat, it's a cock. Skimmy, ha ha. Nally, when I had it, it's a cock. Change down, who cut the city, it's a
cock. I'm out here crying with my G. Crying with my G.
Money,
man. Ooh, when I'm in Juta. When you're the bell, I'm in Juta. Baby, I'm Tebele.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he's officially in Africa now.
Yeah.
What do you guys say?
Yeah. There's a few more left, but...
Okay.
I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we go?
Okay.
I love this education. I love it.
We on?
Bring that fuzz.
We not on?
Okay, that's not part of the song. Can I just say
that? No, it's not.
Just now, this artist comes in here, says, "Hey, Cliff Central."
Huh? Keep it moving. Keep it moving.
We just. So far.
I need. Please keep going with this. We could do this all day.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, what's amazing is that it really is just, you know, it has what I hear now is a local influence.
Okay.
But it sounds very much what's happening everywhere else, which is dope too.
Okay.
So
are we taking these guys over to your side of town?
I'd love to. I would love to.
Street cred in New York, baby.
Please.
Berlin.
It's happening.
Dope.
Oh, and
dope.
He's in studio now.
Can I introduce him?
Yeah, please.
Oh, sitting next to me. A man that I met in Berlin. Actually, I think we ran into each other at an ASAP show in Berlin.
It was like,
oh.
and
Trill Man.
He rolled up with like four other dudes.
Oh, he has an entourage like
that.
He rolls with an entourage like that.
And,
don't hate me because I'm pretty.
Huh?
He came over and he goes, "My name is Hardy Mack. I'm from South Africa.
Okay.
And I need you to come down there."
Okay.
And I was like, all right. Hardy Mack, everybody.
He's How there. Would you not?
Woohoo.
I mean, look where I'm sitting.
Welcome to Africa. Welcome to
Hardy.
Yeah,
thank you very much, fellas, once again, back on your show. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. you just always seem to come on our show. Eh?
Two weeks ago,
yeah.
Yeah, so what's happening?
I've been on the show. I feel like I'm about
resident.
Just put me officially there on the flyer there. I'm coming.
No, easy tiger.
So where we at?
Where we at right now is that it's T-minus a couple of hours till the talks that are happening this afternoon, which Jeff is a part of. And then later on this evening is the official opening party.
Yeah.
Wait, which Jeff is a part of?
Well, Jeff's a part of the talks, you know.
Okay.
Jeff's speaking, New Creators Lab.
Okay.
And he'll be talking about what he does.
Jeff, wait. He's not following protocol. So we've got protocol in this country, okay?
Point of order.
Whenever you speak to comrades in English,
okay.
But it's comrades. So now I'm taking you to the ghetto.
Right? Leadership, please.
He must observe all protocol.
Yeah. Stand up
Hardy, let's try this again.
Let's go again.
Okay, so Jeff is speaking later on.
Yeah, so Jeff's speaking. Jeff Caballo right next to me.
Protocol observed. Here we go.
Wait, Jeff is the only person sitting in this room that's speaking.
Yeah, he's one of many speakers. Yes.
Get this man out of our show, please. Get him out of here.
Okay.
Get him out of our show.
So, these talks are going to feature BC is speaking.
Oh, oh.
I mean,
okay.
You are welcome our studio.
That's what this was about, yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, I was letting you guys wait.
Yes. Welcome.
You know? But yeah, so amongst the speakers featured today is Mr. Monwa BC,
Protocol observed.
From Black Magazine.
Black Life, baby.
Yeah, the Black Life, talking about it, as well as Jeff Cavalier is right next to me.
The Honorable.
Honorable member.
Yo, he's gone
honorable
up. The
member.
Member's gone up.
Honorable member Cavalier.
And then there's Emma Strensom, who was on the show yesterday from Stockholm School of Economics. There's Edson Sabayo, founder of Pata.
Oh, the great Pata.
The great Pata, one of the top, I'd say, five streetwear labels on the planet.
He was the first guy I interviewed in this business.
Oh, for real?
What?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was doing a podcast back in 2005. That's a long time ago now. And I flew up to Amsterdam because I wanted to interview those guys. And I'm really happy that
Jeff,
he's here.
Can we get some of these podcasts? Because I think, you know, I feel like we're 100 years back and you've seen something and we're only starting to live what you've seen, like what you were doing. In fact, not even seeing, doing.
Podcasting has come a long way. It's pretty incredible here. I mean, is it pretty popular down here as well?
It's not that much.
Well, it's big now. I mean, we get about 1 million downloads.
That's a lot of downloads.
Yeah.
That's a lot. We were happy getting 10,000, 5,000 downloads.
Yeah, Cliff Central, baby. That's cool. How we rock.
So Edson's coming?
Edson's here.
But it's his second time here, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, this is actually, it's his second time with us.
It's 2012, I think it was, here.
Yeah, he started actually in 2011.
Okay.
And the reason why we have him out here is because Pata is such a globally recognized brand that there's not one streetwear label in South Africa that cannot claim that they've been inspired by them at some point. Then we have our friend Sergio Muster from Zurich, Switzerland, and he is the founder of a show called Sneakiness, which is happens in Paris, Zurich, Warsaw, Amsterdam, and a couple of other places. It's the biggest sneaker convention in Europe. Yeah, so it's a lot of people, lots of knowledge sharing, and just a real good platform for people to share ideas, but also to understand how we can infiltrate international markets. I think that's one of the big things that we need to talk about. And with people like this if I want to have my label or my designs or whatever seen outside of SA, how do you recommend that happen? I think, that's one of the key things we need to talk about.
Cool. Any sort of government support? Any sort of,
Not right now.
Not right now.
Not right now.
Plans in place, though.
You know, I think that's sort of part of the long-term vision. Mm. Up until now, we've really been doing it on our own. But I think now that we've got proven case studies, we can go to government and talk about, you know, this is what we've done.
Support packages.
And it's also about, you know, looking at how we can do, through the support of things like the DTI and whatever else, how we can operate at other trade shows that happen internationally and give that platform to South African and African brands.
Cool.
Okay, I'm sorry, but Jeff still hasn't answered our question. Jeff, can we get some of your podcasts?
Yeah, of course. Yeah? I mean, they're really raw, super raw. I mean, we're using some pretty crappy equipment at that time, but
let's go. Let's go. We want to get into it. We want to.
You want the podcast?
Yeah, because I mean, he's ahead. Mm. You know, you gotta respect game. Game respects game. You know.
You know, if I can say something, for me, podcasting was platform. You know, and a bit of what I'm going to be talking about tonight is that, is the idea that, you know, it could be standing on a soapbox, it could be getting on a radio show like this, it could be doing a podcast, it could be writing a letter, it could be making a zine. At the end of the day, it's all platform. And for me, 10 years ago, in trying to get my voice, or at least my viewpoint of what was happening within sneaker culture and street culture at that
point,
you know, I wasn't a designer. I didn't own a store. Mm. I was a fan. I was a collector. I was a head.
Yeah.
And the podcast just came together because I found two other guys locally.
Okay.
One guy's name's Frank the Butcher. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He runs a label called Bow Wow. Business as usual out of Boston. Mm.
You'll be assumed.
Frank would be amazing down here.
No, we've been wanting Frank. So okay. he's on that list right there with Burn Rubber.
We'll definitely get Rick down here as well.
Yes, 100%. For sure.
But, you know, for us, the podcast was, you know, Frank was doing his thing, I was doing my thing, and Rob at the time as well was with us. And it was what we used to get our voice out there. And we just recorded them. We didn't expect anybody to actually listen to it. But, you know, after the first episode, we actually set up like an 800 number, or like a toll-free number where people leave messages.
Yeah, yeah. We see that on the movies all the time.
Yeah, you probably do. Yeah. You must have the equivalent here too.
0800-555.
Exactly, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And people would, and I remember after the first or second episode, people were leaving voicemail, and we were blown away. And I think after like the fourth or fifth episode, Bun B from UGK left voicemail.
Sheesh.
And we're like, how the hell is Bun B listening to this show? It just brings it back to the fact that this was the platform we decided to use, and you know, we got very lucky that people were listening. So I have a very special place in my heart for radio and for podcasting especially. So
What advice would you give to like a young O who's not necessarily like a designer, but he's like, he's ahead and he's into steez and he's like knows all about that stuff, but who's from Joburg? Because like I think the main difference with you guys and us is the accessibility to like resources and stuff, like being able to get like good internet and like have like a fucking SoundCloud or something to upload to or whatever. A lot of us this side, they don't have that shandies. Like it's hard for them to get their hands on that stuff, but like they've got talent and skill, and they still like they're willing to do the work. So how would you advise someone on getting their stuff out there who doesn't necessarily have like financial backing initially?
I don't actually think you need much money to do it. You know, I don't think you need any money to do it.
Whoa,
was that me? Sorry about that. I think just getting your voice out there, be it on, you know, again, I hate to, you know, platform again, you know, is it Twitter, is it talking on chat, you know, anywhere that you can get your opinion across is really quite important. That's what it comes down to. And the big thing for me is whatever you have to say, just make sure that you can validate it and stand behind it and that your opinion comes across exactly how you want it to come across.
Right.
And then, you know, people will listen and really respect what you're saying. It's probably going to take some time, but I certainly, you know, you guys have some issues in terms of internet speeds, but that shouldn't be the thing that stops anybody from getting out there. You know, I would just recommend that everyone, you know, if you're a writer, write. If you're an artist, paint, illustrate. You know, just keep pushing, because people will listen and people will pay attention.
Okay. Now, let's get to our favorite part. I know you and I will speak about this the whole day, but
all right.
Magazines.
Oh, very fun place for me.
Hey?
You love magazines. You've been doing it for a while yourself, right?
I love magazines. Yeah. I think of magazines and I can just collect. My house is just magazines, books, magazines, you know. And some I've never even read. Some I don't even know. Like, I'll go to China, Japan, or whatever, and just
swipe them up.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But,
I think magazines are amazing. You know, it's a platform that a lot of people, at least in the United States, have been seeing a little bit of a depression. You know, there's a in the magazine world, there's a lot of layoffs happening. You know, from my own personal perspective, I was making zines as a kid, and that was really fun and exciting. You know, now that we have Heisnobiety specifically, you know, now that we have a magazine as well, we've been doing it now for 4 years.
Okay.
The magazine was always a complement to the online side. It was never a primary focus for what we were doing.
Right.
And I think that that was quite important because we did what we could in getting photographers and writers. All the content in the magazine is exclusive to the magazine. We're not repurposing that from the online side. But, I think that we're not the only...
But do you take what's in the magazine and put that online?
We do that. We definitely
but
go
on that
side.
But you don't do it the other way around?
No, I mean, the magazine is pretty exclusive in terms of what it has.
That's cool. That's
it's been a really interesting tool for us. The one thing you learn when you make a magazine, as I'm sure you know, is, you know, advertisers' eyes open up very differently when you tell them you have something physical versus just having
something online.
Because you know for better or worse, the industry still sees print, radio, TV as being the top three pillars of importance, you know.
So you guys got the same problem.
We certainly have the same problem.
Okay. It's nice to know we're normal. South Africa, we are normal.
Of course you are. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But magazines are amazing. What mag should I be reading while I'm down here besides Black?
I think that's the only one.
Moving swiftly along. Jeff, what I want to ask you is I think just the back end, in terms of content generation and making sure that the content that you generate, the kind of shoots that you do, because I think all of that is quite labor and resource intensive.
It is,
And I think that's the part where. That's really where I would be very interested to know how you guys go about making that work.
I think we're in a lucky position where we get a lot of emerging photographers, a lot of emerging writers that come to us that want to express their vision or voice. And we've been a really good open door to new creatives that are looking to get involved. So.
Okay.
If you go through the magazine, there's some known names, some known photographers, but for the majority of the folks that are working on the mag and producing content, they are emerging creatives. And we're very lucky that we get pitched a lot of those stories too. So,
What do you think makes it like that? Because there are a lot of online spaces and publications because here, in Joburg, or in Bramfontein, for instance, there's a shitload of photographers, videographers, guys who illustrate, and all sorts of stuff like that. And they don't feel like there's any place where they can take this stuff to.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that you think sets your Snobiety and Selectism apart from the other publications? So that I'm assuming that a lot of these dudes come to you like for free, dude, just put it on anyway.
No,
do you pay them?
We certainly pay production on a majority of what we do, for sure.
Okay.
It's, creativity is valuable, you know.
For sure.
And we
for
certainly, sure. Certainly we have taken jobs where people have produced some amazing stuff for us, but we definitely do our best to get and help cover production costs.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, again, the magazine for us is not a primary.
Okay.
And you keep stressing that. Yeah, I mean, we're an online company.
Look, I guess my point as well was also from an online space as well. As much as the question is directed at print, but I think we recognize that print is obviously, online will always be, the way forward. And I think that question was more towards the online space and the content that you generate online.
We certainly pay for it. Yeah. We certainly are paying folks to do video production for us. Photo shoots and the such. Mm. And quite frankly, you end up getting a better product that way most of the time.
Yeah.
But, there are still cases, even when we were starting up where we certainly would take work from folks that were trying to get their name out there.
Sure.
Mm.
But it's got to be dope, obviously. Dopeness is a must.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the hard part. There's a lot of
crappy stuff.
There's a lot of crappy stuff. There's a lot of good stuff. and the amount of great stuff out there, it's kind of hard to kind of go through it and find it, but so, when you do, it's amazing.
Okay, so this next song.
Oh, I love this. We're back on this.
You're back. We're back.
Let me get ready.
Okay, we're ready. Okay. Are you ready? Jeff, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so.
Jeff, my Jeff.
Mchefino. And like, let's give him a name.
Is the name
Mchefino?
Jeff, my Jeff.
Mchefino.
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 Mchefino sounds almost Brazilian, actually.
Jeff? Jeff? What's your name, Hakim? What do you give?
Hakim.
No, what did you give him?
Jeff, my Jeff.
Jeff, my Jeff.
Jeff, my
Jeff. Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay, Hardy, what's your name for him? Let's take a vote.
Bra Jeff.
Bra Jeff. Bra Jeff. Okay, Pochosi.
Jeff Wabantua.
Jeff Wabantua. No,
bye. No.
Unless Jeff leaves his wife in South Africa, then we can call him Jeff Wabantua. Because I see the ladies at Cliff Central were eyeing Jeff out.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Jeff came with his wife, so behave yourselves.
Please, let's close the screens.
Behave yourselves.
There we go.
And then I say Mchefino.
Mchefino.
D, cool. You must vote. Jeff? Mchefino, fan. Ah! See why the show is named after a great. Okay, let me just move on.
Can we move on to
yeah,
the
let's
song?
Play the song, yo. Let's play the song.
So, let's get this right. Jeff, picture this. We've got some crazy people whose talent like couldn't be contained in South Africa. So they went overseas and started singing crazy stuff. Okay? Now it's back on our shores. It's now international.
Yo, I'm always first strong, fucking born and bred. And I get a first bump, always to prepare.
Right, Jeff.
Heavy EDM influence.
Okay.
He should be playing the big stages of the big parties in the United States.
Yeah.
That's the sound.
That's the funny part. They signed to Universal International, not even Universal South Africa.
Hey? Wow. And where did you say he left for a while? Where did he go?
So they couldn't get a record deal in South Africa.
Yeah.
So they left for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
Spent some time in your city.
Okay, cool.
And now they're back in our country and they're international now.
And it's taking off.
And it's taking off.
Yeah, even in the, I mean, that's a sound I heard a lot on the radio yesterday as we were driving around too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, I'm looking at a photo of him right now.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Jack Barrow.
Jack Barrow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
And sorry, how do you pronounce it? What's his name again?
Jack Perro.
Jack Perro.
Yeah, cool. we just localize it. Jack Perro. Jeffino.
You know? I like Jeffino. It's gonna stick, I think.
Yeah, Jeffino. So cool. When they ask you what your name is, just say I'm Jeffino.
I'm Jeffino.
Jeffino.
Yeah, it's very international.
Yeah.
I mean. Jeff, you brought something cool there with Hoji Yamamoto.
Yeah, it's an issue.
What is that?
This is High Snobiety Magazine issue 9.
Sure.
That I'd love to share with all of you here.
Can we keep it? Can we
good
keep
Lord.
It? Of course you can keep
it. We are putting. Wow. I'm going to put a picture of this thing up on Twitter. Black Life. Black yeah. Magazine.
Thank you.
You need to. No, like, you're welcome. Thank you. And, like, you people need to see it. That's why I'm telling you.
Man. I can, you
it's
know.
It's just not. It's not normal.
I can up the ante a little bit.
And?
And, yeah, I mean, I could send out a grip of copies to folks if
no.
they. Yeah, I mean, if you guys want to capture some mailing addresses, I can certainly send out. A grip.
You heard that.
High Snobiety Magazine to
only
folks.
On Cliff
only on Cliff Central. Only on Black Life.
This is Friday.
Jeff Carvalho said
this
it.
Is like,
his
I
damn
think,
self.
I think the next show is in trouble. O'Neill is in trouble today because like,
it's going to be a tough act to follow.
Like, this is going to be tough.
Jeff Carvalho, High Snobiety. That thing looks like an encyclopedia of cool shit.
Yes, it's gotten a little thick. It's gotten thick.
O'Neill.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good mix. I hope you guys like it.
Yeah.
Tish, O'Neill, you guys are in trouble. I mean, this show is killing it right
Beyonce
now.
Beyonce magazine.
I don't know how you're
going to
do it. I really don't know how you're going to do it. You know? It's crazy. I mean, Jeff, but visually aesthetically mm-hmm. and aesthetically, I think this guy should come back to South Africa.
You don't have to worry about that.
Dude, you need to be back in South Africa.
Thank you.
Because it's, I mean, how do we... You know, I'm looking at just the cover and...
Yeah, thank you. That's really cool. You know, we're an international team. Like I said, you know, we're in Berlin and New York. But the creative direction for that magazine actually came from our man, Edward, down in Hong Kong.
What?
So, yeah, it's interesting how we're able to kind of all connect over the internets. In some respects, it shows that you all don't have to be in the same place to get stuff done and that you can...
Yeah.
You can certainly have a community of a global community...
I mean, you okay, truth be told, you looked at our magazine and you were like, so,
No, that's
long,
not true at all.
How long has this been going for? And I could see you were like, I could do this, I could do that, change this, change that.
That's not my forte, actually. I mean, I looked
really?
At... No. For me, a lot of my job is really just kind of doing discovery and figuring out what's interesting that's and what's
sure.
next.
Yeah. And getting paid for it.
We certainly work hard, so okay. We should be getting paid for it.
Okay.
Big things.
And but you know, I can't take any credit for this. I mean, I can take a bit of credit, but our team really are the ones that put this together and make it the product that it is. And yeah, I'd like to shout them out because they're all amazing out there.
Yeah, So let's send a shout out to them.
Yeah.
Shout out
to the team in New York City, Elaine Thomas holding it down. Berlin, we have way too many people to thank there. David, Brock, Pete in Montreal.
Okay.
And of course...
Shout out to the Raised by Wolves, man, out there.
Pete does a brand called Raised by Wolves out of Montreal. That's one of the reasons he'll never leave.
Are they here at Street Cred?
Not this year, but their product will be available in the new year.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's Hardy Mac.
And Lena, my girl Lena, holding it down in London.
We love you, Lena.
And of course, Edward in Hong Kong. I'm probably missing a few people, but... We're a pretty big team. So.
Okay.
But guys, thank you for the kind words. That was really nice.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
So you said something at the beginning of the show which kind of grabbed my attention. And you said creativity is what?
What did I say?
You said creativity is expensive or something.
Creativity should be paid for. That's for sure.
Okay.
You know, I don't think...
Okay.
And when I say expensive, I mean that, you know, I really am a firm believer that people should get paid for... The work that they do,
yes,
and their ideas.
Listen to my lemma there. Eh?
Yes,
and
nationalize that thing.
You know, but at the same time, you know, if you're getting off the ground, you know, I would not expect to get paid a fortune. You know, make sure that your voice is heard and that people begin to see your work and respect it, and they will find value. They certainly will find value.
Mike, I've got a really personal question to ask, and I'm sure I know a lot of publishers, especially on the continent, would want to really find out is how do you go to advertisers and make Street look cool? Because I'll tell you where I'm coming from. Predominantly, street culture has always had a gangster, you know, type of connotation to it. Now, it's gangster, it's street, it's unorthodox, it's not measurable in terms of numbers. Maybe online is different. It's a bunch of kids, you know, corrupt kids
wearing shorts and leggings.
Yeah,
putting things in their ears.
And I look at high snobiety and I look at selectism, and I get the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You know, we have been around for a while, and the one aspect of our business that, you know, we don't really talk about is that those first 3 or 4 years that we were working on Snob and Selectism, especially David Fisher, who founded it and is my partner in Tidal Media, which is the holding company the name that we use for the holding company. You know, right. There was a long time where we had no access. We had no access to brands, and when we would cover a new product, there would be pushback from brands, you know, like, what are you guys, who are you guys, what are you doing? There was a misunderstanding of exactly what the value there was to a blog or a website that was talking about this culture, because they saw it as in some ways almost destroying or hurting their marketing.
Yeah.
When we would say have a preview of a new Nike that was coming out.
Yeah.
And something happened, at least for us, around 2007, 2008, where I actually remember the first phone call I got from a guy at Nike, and he was on the social media side, so that kind of makes a bit of sense there. And he's like, you know, I really love what you guys are doing. Let us help you help us. And I think that was a big wake-up call for us when we understood that as a business, it was time for us to really begin to build the relationships that we have with footwear companies or clothing brands, so that they had a better understanding of what we were trying to accomplish, and who the audience we were talking to.
Right.
I think once we got the support of the brands, that really changed a lot of things. You know, it really can't be understated how, you know, having those relationships will benefit you.
Yeah.
And you know, how do we make advertisers understand our culture? You know, quite frankly, when you look at the online side, they probably look at numbers. Most ad agencies, they want to see metrics. They want to see that return.
Bloody matrix.
And we certainly, you know, we certainly have that. I guess you just got to keep talking to them and convincing them and giving them a point of view. I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm here, maybe, is just to, you know, help people better understand how we've grown as a business and what we've done. And you know, that same kind of conversation happens every day with brands. You know, in New York City, I'm sitting with everybody from Bulgari to the Nikes of the world, car companies.
In your t-shirts and your cool pants, and I mean, do you ever put on a suit?
I actually had a suit on.
You lie.
I had a suit on, but it was a Halloween party. So
then you had sneakers on. You probably had sneakers on.
I had a pair of. You guys know the Cole Haan Lunar Grand?
Yeah.
Which is like a dress shoe that has like the Lunar Lawn technology. Yeah. I had those on. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
That was your Halloween costume.
Yeah, we went.
Swag.
Well, the problem was you either had to wear a costume or you had to wear formal wear. So
you just ripped us off, huh? I mean, guys were in suits the whole day.
Whole time.
But we're learning here. Yeah. Jeff, I just had a tweet from someone saying, I run a fashion blog. Mm-hmm. And how do I go about it trying to get numbers whilst trying to make a living off blogging?
Yeah, it's really hard these days. It's really hard. It's trying to build numbers, you mean?
Yeah.
That's what they mean.
Being controversial, by the way.
Without being controversial?
Yeah.
I just got to keep pushing and being on the phone and talking to folks. Quite frankly, getting on shows like this is quite important too. You know, again, just get your voice out there and do what you can. And, you know, reach out to folks like us and let us know what you're doing.
Okay.
Maybe the first hit doesn't work, but, you know, one thing when people pitch us, we always say, if it's something that we end up not going down with, you know, we'll say, we don't say we'll pass on it specifically. We'll say, let's see what happens with the next initiative. Let's see what the next thing is, and we'll keep talking and building. So, yeah, keep pushing.
I got one last question. Could say it's kind of personal as well. Just taking from like what you said you experienced in terms of finding it difficult to make agencies and marketing and advertisers like understand your point of view and where you're coming from and stuff. I watch a lot of Kanye's interviews where he's like almost like boxing the person that he's talking to because he's trying to express a certain level of frustration, which like I guess he feels like they don't get. Do you think, and I mean not just him, but people in that industry and in that tier of media and product making and idea packaging, do you experience those types of problems which he expresses?
In terms of people trying to understand his viewpoint,
yeah,
or his frustrations?
I mean, like, cumulative, like, the viewpoint, his frustrations, him being a product person and trying to get that across.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
I can't speak for Kanye because he's an incredibly vocal guy, but, yeah, I mean...
Again, and we don't have the answers.
We just want to keep pushing our message and get people to hear what we say.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you got to fight for your space. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's Jeff, important to know.
It's been real.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been amazing.
Yeah,
it's been
dope.
Really, really real.
The dopest show ever.
And I love the musical education that I've gotten here.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop.
So you're up today at your speech in Conhill?
Yes, sir.
That's correct.
What time do we start? Notice how I said start.
We. Yes, no, duly noted. actually, in the next 20 minutes,
oh boy,
the master classes are starting.
Have we got a police brigade? I can call the minister.
Your brigade is ready. Don't worry, they're ready.
We've got a convoy of black cars.
Convoy of black cars.
That's what we do. Jeff's in a black t-shirt.
Oh wow.
Don't fuck around.
Jeffinho is in a black t-shirt.
well, we're closing down the show with another
women's jail constitution.
Oh, please. Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.